What's up, Hoodat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
All right, so welcome. What's up, Hoodat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1. I'm actually drinking champagne and cran pineapple or something.
What?
It's like
How'd you come up with that concoction on a Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock?
I had champagne and I had cran pineapple, so I mixed them. It's kind of like a mimosa, but it's a Tuesday.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Sure. You know, I think it works. Whatever. Anyway. All right. It's been a few weeks since our last episode, and in that time, a few things have occurred that warrant the convening of the greatest minds in the Saints podcast history. But since those minds were unavailable, you will have to settle for us. This episode will obviously include topics around the Saints, the Pelicans, your tweets, and everything else in between. So put your seatbelts on, keep your heads and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I will go with a 1. I got a little bit of wine right here. Not really celebrating, but marking the end of the Anthony Davis era. I'm all decked out in Pelicans tonight. I got Pelican shirt, Pelicans hat, Pelican shorts, which you can't see. I don't have Pelicans boxers, though. That's next on my list that I got to get.
Oh, okay. But nice, I guess.
It's exciting times for our sports franchises here in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
We shall see. And in the meantime, we got Damon. Welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Thank you. I'm feeling great, yeah. Excited about the Pelicans.
The Pelicans?
The Pelicans, absolutely.
Not Pelicans.
Correct.
All right. What do you guys say that we get right into some Saint stuff before we get to the Pelican stuff, right?
Sure.
And we'll call that the, fake?
Off-season follies?
News, I believe.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning because many of our nations...
They're here.
Reporters and folks.
Yeah, he's playing. I think we need to rename it from fake news.
It's all fake.
Boss. I don't know.
All right.
So we got Hold on, I'm being summoned.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Well. Does she have another list for you?
For those of you...
We don't know. Damon now has lists from his girlfriend now.
Yeah, he's apparently sent us a picture of a handwritten list of shit he's got to buy.
I'm like, those are all for her. Couldn't she do that?
Right.
And then he's like, no, I'm a man. I don't have my own list. I'm like, eh.
I'm a man, and I whipped. Did he forget to mute?
Probably, and now he's just a ghost.
Right? Oh, jeez. He's ruining everything.
That's what he does. It's Damon. Come on.
All right. I don't know what this black bar on our screen is, but...
I don't see a black bar.
No, it's not on that screen.
Oh.
But it's on this actual screen. So either way, hope you can see us. But anyway, here's something to talk about. Cam Jordan gets an extension, 3 years, making him a Saint all the way to 2023. Also reduces his impact on the salary cap this year from $14 million to $9.5 million.
Yeah, it drops. Yeah, we picked up a big amount this year for him.
Excellent.
I mean, that's what all these extensions do, and it raises it in the future, but with the way the salary cap keeps going up, I mean, you know, that's kind of what Loomis does. He shortens it here, and then it's higher then, but, I mean, the salary cap has gone up so much every year over the last handful of years that he just figures, okay, well, at that point, you know, he's going to be a bargain. I mean, that's what we did with Cam's last contract. I mean, Cam at this point, coming into this season under his current contract, was wildly underpaid compared to some of the deals that are going out now. So, you know, he signed this deal, and in 3 or 4 years, while it may seem like a lot, I mean, I think his cap charges are maybe like $18 million. But depending on where the cap is, it's probably going to be a bargain then. So, but it is nice to have him, you know,
locked up,
not that he was ever going to leave, but knowing that he's going to be here, and if you think about it, other than Breeze and Morstead, he's the longest tenured Saint, I believe. And he is one of the hearts of this team. I mean, like Damon preaches about Saints players, he has embraced New Orleans 100%. He moved here. He didn't know anything about New Orleans. He embraced it. His kids are here. He loves it here. And I love having him tied into us.
And he's a good locker room guy. You know, doesn't get in trouble. Not very controversial. How many times have we said it that he's one of the most underrated players in the league?
I don't think he's ever missed a game. Maybe his first game as a rookie he didn't play in, but he was healthy. But I think he's played in every. Yeah, hi, we see you.
Yeah,
I think he's.
Oh, okay, but on my screen I'm frozen. I'm sorry.
Okay, I think he's played in every.
Well, let it go.
In every game since he got drafted, other than the one game.
What? I don't remember what game he didn't play in.
The first one. I don't know. Who did we play that first game in 2011? I can't remember.
Oh, why didn't he play that game? Just because he wasn't ready?
Maybe not. I don't know.
He was young, wet behind the ears.
Right.
Quick saying hello to Tony St. Clair, Morionaire. Tony Morionaire. What's up, Dome Patrol? And Adam Groh joined. He's watching as well.
Oh, hey, I remember you from such episodes as episode number 23 and episode number 37.
Adam, for those of you who are new to the show, Adam used to be a regular on the show. He used to actually sit in Damon's spot. Not in Damon's bed, but in Damon's spot.
We used to get into a lot of drunk arguments.
It was fun. Hey, look, Adam was fun. Adam was an asshole. And he still is. Don't get me wrong.
We'll have to get him on the live stream one day.
Yeah, no. Yeah, those fights were the best. And what y'all told me, y'all didn't even put in the best stuff.
Oh, God, no.
We know. We had to cut half of it out.
Right. He would just get angry, and he would hang up.
He's the best. Not necessarily gay.
That is where not necessarily came from.
That was awesome. Yeah. I mean, he hates Jason.
He's on the podcast. He loves Jason.
On the podcast.
He hates me everywhere.
He knows how to wind me up, that's all.
That's right. He hates that's right.
Yeah.
I hate Jason.
Right. Yeah. That's why we had to get rid of him. I got rid of him and put you on.
We gotta have somebody who hates one of us.
I got tired of being ganged up on, so I have to recruit my own guy now. All right, what do we got here? The next one, Michael Thomas, the talks about him getting an extension a little early on there, and the Mickey Loomis saying that he's perfectly okay if Michael Thomas ends up being the highest paid receiver in the NFL.
Yeah. It's reported today by Diana at ESPN that contract extension negotiations between the Saints and Michael Thomas are progressing and that it should be done by training camp.
Riveting reporting, Diana.
You know, but that would be pretty incredible. Saying they're gonna make him the highest paid receiver in the league.
Can we afford him?
Well. After I think I said this last year. Look, once Breeze comes off the payroll, you know you're gonna want a top notch wide receiver to help your new quarterback. That's not Drew Breeze. Drew Breeze has done it his entire career here with no disrespect to the wide receivers we've had, but without any superstars.
Right.
I would say Michael Thomas is a superstar. I get an agreement on that, you know?
You do pay him because of the fact that you're not guaranteed, he's got to exist past Breeze. So you're not going to have that kind of a caliber quarterback no matter what you do. So you have your defense and you have your offensive weapons that are not your quarterback. So you overpay for that. Not overpay.
I don't overpay.
Actually pay market value.
You could also not pay market value, let him go, have somebody else come in who's good enough.
You could do that with Drew Brees as your quarterback.
Go to somewhere else?
Michael Thomas we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. If Drew Brees was your quarterback that we knew for the next 6-7 years, Drew, like we've said before, Drew Brees will make a medium wide receiver, very good.
Right.
So, but now that Breeze is going, you need a good wide receiver to help out your
mediocre
new
quarterback.
And that's the thing. The two most important quarterback.
Right.
No, like, hello, other Stansberry.
Thanks for watching.
Like, other than anybody on the offensive line, your two most important players going forward, with the idea that Breeze isn't going to be here beyond.
He's 40. He won't be.
It's going to be Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. You know, like, mm-hmm. now, like, we're going to have to pay those guys because whoever the quarterback is, they're going to need that help to transition.
Correct.
Because we don't, you know, it's a big question mark. We've been fortunate enough to not have a question mark at the most important position in
for 13 years.
Sports. Right. Since 2006. We have not had to worry about that. And it's the same thing.
It's going to be so scary when this man leaves.
Yeah.
And even though he's not the same quarterback as he was in 2009, 10, 11, you know, I do worry about later in the season, does he, you know, does it wear on him at his advanced age? He's old. I mean, how old are you, Jeff?
I'm 40. I'm 1 year. I'm the same age or like a half a year younger than Drew Brees. And that's
half a year older, but.
I don't know. I feel like I'm 5 years old.
He just turned 40, but we turned 40. Like, I'm 40. We both turned 40 at the end of the
day. I'm older.
Actually, Brees turned 40.
Yeah, I'm older than Drew Brees, and he's accomplished a lot more than
in January. In January. That's why I said it, to point out when we talk about how old he is. Yeah, he turned 40 in January.
But 40 for – all right, we don't even need to talk about it. We're preaching to the choir there. But the whole issue of, okay, you're clearly paying Cam Jordan. You're paying Michael Thomas. Are you gonna pay Kamara when it's time to pay him?
Yeah,
sure.
You're gonna pay Kamara, but then I mean, look, this was part of the issue that we have.
Then you can't keep. I know Drew Brees will be the year-to-year option, but is Drew Brees gonna give you a discount?
No,
probably not. But
then how do you afford them all?
How about this? We need to win the Super Bowl this year, and then he retires. Then you don't have to worry about it. You know, we should have won the Super Bowl fucking last year.
And that, the year before.
I demand we do not talk about last year ever.
Because that's what really brings up, right, I don't want to think about that bullshit because we should have won. God damn it.
But you're talking about it. Let's not talk about last
year. Yeah, okay.
Way to go, Jason. Way to go. I thought I was over it, but I'm not.
No, never.
But I'm not fucking Jason. See why I hate him?
Yeah.
All right. Change. Speaking of other things that are not that.
But do we want to? So Saints mini camps is it over now, or is this the last? Or mini camp? Are we now in the break of in between mini camp and training camp?
The more important question is: are there as many stories that are trying to make something of nothing from mini camp because they're just trying to talk about anything? Like, or is there something to some of these reports, like Nolan being excited about Alex Anzalone, or they're excited about the progression of Chauncey?
It's not a progression. It's the fact that we drafted. But a lot of this,
progression from when he got there to where he is today, that they're excited about what they see.
The thing is, they're practicing without pads. Look, when training camp starts, we're going to have so much time to talk about all this crap when guys are playing in pads and there's real stuff going on. For now, it's just, hey, did anybody get hurt? No? Great.
That's
the biggest story to come out of minicamp is that nobody's hurt other than Cam Meredith, who is always hurt.
All right. Hey to Todd Bourgeois joining, watching the stream there. And also Scott has a question he wants to throw in there. Thoughts on the rugby guy that they signed? Probably doesn't make the team, but at least Sean Payton's looking at all possibilities, to which Ben Wright replies, rugby is for fat Welsh people like Ash. Shots fired across the pond.
Yeah, so a rugby player can never make the Saints, because I can't picture Ash coming into the coming into the facility. And, yeah, I'm a rugby guy from Wales. I got it. Sorry, Ash.
Hate on Ash?
I don't know. He knows I love him. I'm just trying to make a bad joke.
Because he's the Damon of the Saints UK podcast.
Yeah.
So .com. Jason can't like him. Oh, you threw a .com for them, huh? Can you say it?
The problem is I do like Ash. I just don't like Damon.
All right. Adam did ask or mention, hopefully talking about the whole Drew Brees stuff, Kamara and all that, hopefully you can lean on your running game to save his arm for the end of the year. Yeah, running game and short passes seems to be Sean Payton. But the problem is, does that make you predictable to the point where...
That's one
where...
thing certain guys were some guys were saying when they saw Latavius Murray, they said he really looked the part, physical beast. So I think, you know, hopefully there's not that much of a drop-off between Ingram and Murray. Like, I think Murray, you know, it sucks to lose Ingram, but it sounds like Murray will be able to do enough and keep the offense going.
Latavius.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to move on to the next piece of news, then fake news, that is. And this is the Saints Hall of Fame inductees that happened. So some things have happened since the last show to this show. It might be.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of Twitter chatter about this.
Yeah, and I watched a little bit of the live stream. The Saints did a live stream. I have to note, you would have thought that they would have had the guy that introduced it all. He kind of looked like who was the guy on the radio that had the neck brace that year in his last year that got he was on WWF.
Kenny Wilkerson.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a fat version of him. But anyway, this guy, I mean, they're doing the Saints Hall of Fame induction on a live stream, but like the guy standing in the room, shirt untucked. He looked like a slot. It's like, you know, like, give these guys a little more respect. Tuck your fucking shirt in. I mean, the fact that he's not even wearing a tie or anything like that is bad enough. But anyway, I digress. The other problem I have...
You mad?
I'm not mad. This is what I'm really mad at, is that Kathleen Blanco was allowed in the building. She was in...
hold on, but you notice it was after Mr. Benson has passed away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
It's after Mr. B died.
Mm-hmm. So she got the Joe Gamelli Florida Lee Award for her contributions to rebuilding the Super Bowl.
Right. And I mean, maybe for some of y'all, because I mean, dude, that was 13 years ago, 14 years ago. For some of y'all who aren't familiar,
God, was it that long ago?
Kathleen Blanco, who was the governor at the time of Katrina, and Mr. Benson, they talked. You know, the word behind the scenes is that the negotiations for the Saints and the state were contentious at best, and that she tried to play a little more hardball than before her. It was Governor
Mike Foster.
Mike Foster, right? So, yeah, I don't think Benson didn't like her at all. But you know, I got the feeling.
Yeah, but anyway, the whole, you know, Hall of Fame thing, it was great to see, you know, Reggie and Colston get in, two guys from the 06 draft class. You know, when that happened, they just brought back all the old Reggie clips, and I've talked about it before. You miss the excitement of having Reggie on the field.
The excitement when we
got him, because in 06, you know, yeah, we signed Drew Brees, great, but we're getting fucking Reggie Bush? Fuck yes. You know, all the excitement was on Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
And granted,
Reggie,
what I miss.
You know?
Him going back for a punt and the whole dome chanting Reggie, right. Just awesome. And it was so much fun, all the excitement, and I miss it. But it was cool to see him get rewarded. But then people, the odd thing is like, oh God, does he deserve to belong in the Saints Hall of Fame? I'm like,
absolutely.
I'm like, oh, like A. You know, I have two points. One, with everything that he did, granted, his on the field, he was only here for 5 years. He didn't live up to what we thought he was going to be, but that excitement when we got him made all the difference in the world after Katrina, after everything. All the excitement around the Saints was because of Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I mean, tell me if I'm, you know, if y'all disagree with this, but he was the first national superstar, you know, that we coming in like that, you know.
Yeah.
He was the first real national.
Since Ditka.
Yeah.
Since Ditka.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
Reggie was a fucking star.
I'm not saying
star.
When Ditka left. I'm saying when Ditka got here.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But he was more an SNL skit kind of famous, whereas Reggie was a on-the-field kind of famous. But then who the fuck cares about the Hall of Fame? We talked about that. A lot of guys get in the Hall of Fame. Fucking Lance Moore got in the Hall of Fame last year.
The Saints Hall of Fame, sure, no
right.
doubt.
Right. The Saints Hall of Fame. When does everybody all of a sudden care who does and who doesn't get in?
When you put Reggie Bush
and
Marcus
Colston
in it, they lend credibility to the Hall of Fame. They raise the bar for the Hall of Fame. They make it special. And look, yeah, I mean, the Saints Hall of Fame doesn't have a lot to pick from. So the bar is going to be low as far as the history of this organization before 2006. So, yeah, but at this point now, though, you're going to start getting higher caliber players inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, you're going to have a lot of the Super Bowl team, but still, like, it doesn't matter. It's the Hall of Fame. It's fun. It's not like it's the Ring of Honor. You know, it's the Hall of Fame. Like, guys in the Hall of Fame, like, who cares? Great. You're in the Hall of Fame. Great. Good for you. I'm not gonna be upset if somebody doesn't get
it. Well, right. The Saints Hall of Fame, again, it's not just what they did on the field, but it's what they did in the community and how they made the organization.
And look, I mean, remember that draft fest with Reggie. I mean, how many season tickets did the Saints sell like that weekend alone? You know, they almost sold out that weekend alone, just because of one guy. Just because of Reggie. The excitement around Reggie is one thing that I missed the most from the early and Peyton era. Now granted, I was a lot younger, I was a lot more excited, I like night games. Can't say I do that anymore.
All right, Vincent Burke about Reggie says he met Reggie Bush once. He was so excited he did not notice Kim Kardashian standing next to him. One of my coworkers asked me later, did you see Kim? I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And then Todd did say, that booty gets you every time.
And then it also was Reggie, and again, one of y'all brought it up a little earlier. He was another one. Anytime you listen to him, anytime, you know, even though after he left us, he went to play with
Miami and Detroit.
Detroit, and then 1 year in Buffalo. But he always said, look, New Orleans is my second home. I love New, he gets it, part of the Who Dat Nation. He embraced it. He embraced us, and
they spent time out.
Him for what he did.
So Colston,
it was a lot of time anytime Reggie.
Anytime the organization asks him to come down for something, Reggie's here.
Yeah. But then switch over to Colston, who the Quiet Storm, who talk a little bit about what he meant to you and to the fandom
this Hall of Fame class is very unique. Well, Reggie is the first round, the first pick of that draft, and Marcus Colston was the last pick of that draft.
Opposites.
It shows you what the success that Sean Payton and they've had since he's been here really started with that first draft. They hit a home run.
Yeah, that was the foundation for the Super Bowl, right?
That was the foundation for the Super Bowl, 100%.
And Reggie was you're saying, more flashy. Colston was kind
two
of
two different
quiet guy. Opposites.
Totally opposite.
Like everybody said, when Colston came in that first mini camp, he was out of shape. He didn't look like he was gonna make it, and then the difference between the mini camp and then the training camp was night and day. Like, he dedicated himself, and he was Mr. Dependable. Like, you never had to worry when he got the ball, except a couple times where he get the ball and fumble at the goal line. But other than that, he was one of the most dependable guys.
Towards the end, you were starting.
But even not towards the end. It just seemed like he always had a knack for diving for the goal line and just the ball getting knocked out. But look, I'm not going to fault him. I love him. I mean,
You know, he didn't drink alcohol. He wasn't a drinker. We met him out at a party one night, and we're hanging out with him.
I wonder why he was so good.
Tried to offer him, being like, hey, can we buy you a drink or something like that. He was drinking water. He's like, I don't drink. He didn't drink, or at least that's what he told us. He didn't want to drink with us. But you're right.
You don't drink. What's your excuse?
If you think about it, it's kind of like, Kerry Collins had a lot of performance problems in New Orleans because he was a heavy drinker while he was here.
Tom Collins?
And then, he goes to New York.
Vodka Collins.
Super Bowl, yeah. So, in a lot of ways, like Marcus Colston and Kerry Collins. Opposites.
You like that? What do you – you got spirit fingers.
That's
tonight.
Opposites.
Right. This is the sign – this is Jeff's sign for
International sign for opposites.
Opposites.
All right. Let's see. Don't forget Shockey, Todd Bourgeois says. Slippery hands, too much Popeye's chicken.
Hey, Shockey was good for us for the couple years he was here. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what that's got to do with the
Shut up, Todd.
Fame. Yeah. The fuck out of here with your comments. Mm-hmm. I think Todd just wanted an excuse to talk about Popeyes.
Of course.
Yep. All right. Anything else y'all got for fake news before we move on?
Trying to think.
I think we covered it all.
Yeah, I mean, look, no injuries. No. Big in minicamp.
Right. Again, we're June 18th. You know, it's going to be a month from now, a little over a month.
Yep. Now we got the month and a half dead zone. Yeah, until training camp. 6 weeks until training camp.
All right. Then let's talk about something a little exciting in the Pelican Plug.
Are you ready to play the game?
Whew. Okay, where do you want to start?
Get down. Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're going to win.
Yeah. Okay, we're all point fingers. All
right, let's go.
Okay, so we already know we're getting Zion. The draft is this Thursday, but obviously the big story is finally getting rid of Anthony Davis, trading him to the Lakers. Sucks trading him to the Lakers. You know, I don't want to. You know, I don't like trading him there. But this was the best deal that we could have hoped for, considering in a year Davis was gone. So for 1 year of Anthony Davis, we got Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, fourth pick this year. And the craziest part is that we got two more first-round picks, and there's also years where one of them's top eight protected. If the top eight, we get it. If not, it shifts to next year. Then we also have an option to swap picks. If our pick is 28 and the Lakers are 13, we can swap with the Lakers. We have another pick. So it's really the best that we could have hoped for. It does give us hope going to the future. And while it sucks to trade him to the Lakers, you know, I think as of now, you can say both sides won the deal. You don't want, grading a trade when it happens is stupid because you got all these picks in the future. You don't know what's going to get you. But, you know, the Lakers need to win now, and they got a guy who can do that. But they gave up a shit ton to get Davis. So I'm excited with how we're going forward, I think. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So, it just, you know, it's the best we could have hoped for in a bad situation.
All right. You know? Ben Wright wants to know, is Zion the Pelicans' Reggie?
It's crazy how much excitement it's actually garnered. Like, people here are actually excited about Pelicans basketball. And even when we drafted Davis, yeah, we were excited, but there's a different level to it now. You know, I mean, they sold a shit ton of tickets since we got them, and apparently even when we made the trade, they sold more. So there is a genuine level of excitement.
So you're saying all the LeBron and Anthony Davis bullshit that happened during the spring helped the Pelicans in the long run?
Well, I don't know that it helped them, but people are like, oh, well, we traded. You know, you could have got the same thing back then. Well, no, because if the trade happens then, we probably don't get Zion. You know, like whatever had to happen for us to get Zion. The Lakers don't get the fourth pick. I mean, that's part of it. I think once the Lakers got the fourth pick in the draft, that kind of signaled, okay, it's some kind of combination. This is what's going to happen. But you got young players. They're unproven, but there's a lot of potential. I mean, both of the guys we got, Ingram and Ball, were both the second overall picks in their respective drafts. And you get the fourth pick, and you get Hart, and you get more picks. So it's as good as we could have. I mean, Griffin squeezed it out of the Lakers because the Lakers had to do this. They couldn't waste another year of LeBron. They had to get Davis, and they paid a shit ton for him.
All right, Scott wants to know, if you keep the number four, trade him for another player. Did you answer
that? I want to keep the pick. That's one thing. You know, I was kind of chatting with Damon before we started. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, we'll trade the pick, and we'll do whatever. But that's what got us in this problem to begin with. We kept trading away picks for players. Like, I thought we were doing this the right way. Why don't we keep the fourth overall pick? Everybody says, oh, it's a three-player draft. Well, one of these guys is going to develop into a star. And bringing in Trajan Langdon from the Nets, I think he's got a good eye for draft prospects. I want to keep – now, Jeff, I know you don't know a lot about the Pelicans. So, Damon, what do you think?
I mean, as far as the fourth pick goes, I guess it all depends on who's there at number four and how how he works in with how we the Pelicans' brain trust sees a future going. So, I mean, I I will defer to the whatever the Pelicans management thinks is best for him. Now again, you have Ball, who rumors whatever, like, you know, again, this trade isn't over, is what everybody's saying. You know, as far as players coming in, they're talking about trading Ball to Phoenix because they had a lot of interest in them. What we could get from them, I'm not sure. What, you know,
Phoenix has the number 6 pick this year,
so we don't want their drop. In the NBA and NFL draft are two different things.
Yeah.
The 6 pick in the NFL in the NBA draft is, you know, right, terrible. Right. It's like sleeping with Jeff. It's just horrible.
It's not what you're.
I mean, that's what Simpleton. But anyway, so as far as that goes, that's what the NBA draft is such a crapshoot. It really is, man. I mean, if you go and look back, how many players in the first round in the top 20 don't even play in the NBA? You know, they're playing in Europe and other places.
That's part of the issue with the one and done, because they draft freshmen and they're not developed yet, whereas back in the day, guys played in college 3 years.
Right. So I'm of the mindset, I guess, if you take a known commodity over, you know, potential in the NBA.
I guess, you know, to me, that, like, if you're going to trade the pick, people can seem to be talking about, oh yeah, they're going to trade for Bradley Beal from the Wizards, which Bradley Beal is a very good player, but he's a shooting guard. And if the Pelicans are going to keep Ball, which it seems like they're very high on Ball, you're going to have Ball on Holiday, you know, as good as Bradley Beal is, and he's shooting that you need, you don't really need him. Like, he doesn't really fit, and he's making a lot of money, and in 2 more years, he's in line for a jacked-up extension. So if you're going to trade for maybe, like, a center, which now they kind of need a center. Julius Randle opted out of his deal. Now, they could still bring Randle back, which I think I would like to bring him back. I think he would be a nice fit next to Zion. He had his best statistical season. He was smart to opt out because it was just a one-year deal at $9 million. He's going to get it paid. So if you're going to trade the pick for a center, I kind of agree with it. But I don't want to trade away these picks for Bradley Beal, which, as good as he is, we've already got a shooting guard. And to me, Drew is better at the two than the one. I think having Lonzo in at the one and Drew in the two is a great backcourt, because Lonzo is a really premier defender. Now, he can't shoot, but he's got good court vision. He can play defense, and to me, if you're going to keep Ball, I think there's no reason to try to trade for Bradley Beal. So I don't want to do that. Now, people are mentioning maybe Miles Turner for the Pacers, who's a center. You know,
Al Horford as a free agent.
He is, but supposedly he's going to re-sign with Boston for a better deal. I mean, he'd fit in well here. If we wanted to offer him a deal.
Scott said they might try to trade and move up to the number 2. Did you mention that while I was not paying attention?
I mean, if I'd be okay with that if they could do that. If they want to trade up in the draft.
Ooh. Now, that would be – I don't know what we'd have to give up, though.
You have to give up the 4 and maybe one of those Lakers picks.
Right. That might be interesting. Now, also, I mean, from a different – going off. If after the trade, if you saw the Ingram and Hart, I was thinking on Twitter or something, but they both posted.
Yeah,
Instagram. They were happy to come here. Okay, they were happy to leave the drama and bullshit of L.A. to come to New Orleans. That makes me feel good. Again, I think I just said it earlier about the Saints. Man, you have to have a good locker room. You have to have people who want to play together and want to be together. You know, if Anthony Davis wanted to be here or not. Obviously, he didn't last year, and Jason said it when we were talking, you know, privately, that how he handled last year was shitty.
Yeah, it was
incredibly total shit. He showed his immaturity. Maybe he's been immature this entire time. This is Doug's take on it, that he's been an immature asshole the entire time. Just his old agent was able to keep him keep him under wraps. But
so he signed with Clutch. He allowed Clutch to determine his future. The problem is Clutch only cares about LeBron. Clutch knew, hey, LeBron has
right.
We got to do whatever we can to help LeBron. He poisoned everything. Sure. Now, he got his client to L.A., which is what they wanted. But, Davis says he wants to go to L.A., but there's a lot more scrutiny where he's going to be in L.A. than what he was dealing with down here.
Right. Oh, no, that right, 100%. Now, look, I mean, think of it. Our starting five could be Ball, Holiday, Ingram,
I'll be right back.
Zion, and Randall.
If we re-sign Randall, which
if we re-sign Randall,
which I kind of want to do.
Me too. I mean, dude, holy shit. I mean, that's pretty fucking strong, man. I mean, wow.
Yeah, and think about it. And, a lot of times you get this, the number one overall pick comes into the situation that sucks. Because that team sucks. Mm-hmm. That's why they got the number one overall pick. Right. He comes into the situation, and he is the guy, and there is nobody else around him. Whereas now...
Mm-hmm.
In addition, Holiday is a pro's pro, and he's fucking damn good. But even to add Ball and Lonzo, who, yes, there's some questions there, but they've
Ball
got
and Ingram, right?
Ball and Ingram, but they've got 2 and 3 years of NBA experience already behind them. So it's not like it's not like it's a bunch of rookies coming in trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
So he's coming. Zion is coming in to probably about as good as a situation he can. And yeah, I would like to re-sign.
Randall.
Yeah, I definitely
would. Well, I think so. I mean, that's right. I think we, I mean, that would be a hell of a starting lineup, man. I mean,
you still have a solid.
If you don't win without, if you don't win with that lineup, then you start looking
And you still have a solid bench. So, like Josh Hart, one of the guys that came over in the trade, you talked about him. Like, he's taken to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants, where's the best beignets? He is happy. He is embracing the city, and that's what, like we talked about, like that's what it takes. You embrace the city, we love you.
That's right.
So he's coming in. You still have Frank Jackson as a backup. You still have Etuan Moore. Now he's an expiring. They'll probably trade him, but he is a good shooter. You need a shooter. Etuan Moore is a great shooter. Solomon Hill's contract. That's something they got to get rid of. I think they have an option on Sheik Diallo. So we do need some size, beyond Zion and. And, if we sign Randall, great. If we don't sign Randall, we still need a center. We still need size. But this roster is not going to be – this roster is going to be competitive.
Right, right. It's not a shit roster. It's not a Zion coming into – this trade has a potential where – I'm not going to say this year, but definitely not this year, but the following year. We should be a constant playoff contender. And competing for championship.
Yeah, I think we can fight for the 8 seed this year. I think we can fight for the 8 or 7 seed this year, but I think after this year, I think we should be in the playoffs.
So Michael Leonard says
Leonard, all right, Pat.
I think all the guys the Pels got in the trade are going to have a major chip on their shoulders after LeBron chased them out of town.
And it's going to be easier for them. Mm-hmm. They were in a shit situation. They were in a shit situation. And look, the Lakers.
Would you say it was a shituation?
Hmm. Oh, okay.
You see what I did there?
The Lakers. They let D'Angelo Russell. They traded D'Angelo Russell away when they got LeBron. He went to the Nets. D'Angelo Russell was a number 2 overall pick, point guard. Had some maturity issues, and then the Lakers dysfunction. They traded him to Brooklyn. They used to be in New Jersey. Traded him to Brooklyn, and he became an all-star, and now he's going to get now he's going to get like $25 million a year. So I think there is something to be said for guys leaving the Lakers atmosphere, especially with LeBron, and coming to getting a fresh start.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have a benefit.
All right. Y'all done with the Pelicans?
Look. This is another thing. I'm excited for the draft. When's the last time we could say we've been excited for an NBA draft? Because all we do is trade away picks.
Okay. All we do is Vinsenberg, one last thing. Vinsenberg did say Ball is too injury prone. He missed like 70 games in his first two seasons.
I'm not worried about it. AD was injury prone. So good. Good luck.
Yes, he was.
Now the last 2 years AD was mostly healthy, but before that he maybe played 50 or 60 games a year, and that's something that David Griffin is banking on, either the AD injury or also in we've got picks We've got Lakers picks out for another 5-6 years.
One of the tweets I heard is that we control the Lakers draft for the next 7 years.
So, look, LeBron is going to get old and retire at some point. Like, all it takes is one bad year for the Lakers, and we're going to get a lottery pick from him. And to me, that's, you know,
all right.
It's Griff playing along it. But I do like the fact that it seems like there is competent management in place, which gives me more hope for the future than we had before. Like, I actually have faith in these guys
basketball
compared to what we did before.
Dale likes basketball. That's all there is.
Or basketball. Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right. Let's get into looking at them tweets. All right, so I am going to share my screen here, showing everybody on the live stream the tweets themselves. The first one, this one comes, and what I've done this time is I've bookmarked a few tweets that I think are worth taking a look at, okay? And whether or not they were tweeted to us or not. So the first one comes from, this was actually Pro Football Focus, who said the Saints' Cam Jordan does not get the praise that he deserves. Fresh off of signing his 3-year, $52.5 million extension, he rang in at number 16 on their PFF top 50. And they just have the graphic of his career grade, 2011 to 2018. Just wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to the Cam Jordan, and that Pro Football Focus gave him that. Next tweet was a response that Courtney Klobubba did.
Pro Football Talk,
not to be confused with Pro Football Focus, said that Chris Hogan sees some similarities between Tom Brady and Cam Newton, to where Courtney, who's Adam's brother, by the way, says, what, they're both right-handed? That's all I got.
He's not wrong.
He's not. I like that one. And it was worth mentioning on the podcast. All right. You got a comment on that? Why were they comparing the two?
Because Chris Hogan's an idiot. And look, Florio did kind of back us in the whole bounty bullshit.
Right.
But nowadays, it seems like everything Florio posts is like, oh, here's what the story is. Oh, but it's really this. Like, he's really angling. He's really trying to
spin
to needle people. Like, it's a shame because Florio knows his shit, and I like a lot of his stuff. But recently, it seems like he's more just trying to like egg people on and get clicks.
There's no such thing as bad publicity, or like there's any comment is good.
Right.
It doesn't matter
which is a shame that he's kind of gone
into
that route.
A whore. For
yes.
Attention.
Oh, he's definitely turning into a whore.
Yes, he's an attention whore, yeah. All right, the next one is Shams Charnia. Pelicans' Julius Randle is not picking up his $9 million player option for next season and will enter unrestricted free agency league sources. Randle's coming
up with that. It's a smart – we all knew that when we signed him because he signed a 2-year deal, $10 million per with
and
a player
option.
And this
was 2 days ago, by the way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I probably should have unbookmarked that.
No. It's a good tweet. We talked about it, but he signed a 2-year deal with a player option. You knew. I still can't believe that the Lakers let him go. Because he's 24 years old. He's very young. He came here. He put up like 22 and 9. So he's got a lot more money in his future. Now I hope that money is with us. I would like to keep him around. As a center, I think he likes it here, and I think he would fit in very well. And he's still, I mean, he's only 24 years old. So that's the one good thing. Like, Holiday is going to be, like, the oldest player on the roster at 28. But it's not like you're playing a bunch of rookies. We got a lot of talent at young ages that we can get this group,
you know,
going forward. That's one guy I would like to keep around. I hope they do.
All right.
I was a big fan of him. He played really well this year.
All right, so the next tweet comes from the Big Easy Mafia UK, and it is a picture of Scrooge McDuck swimming in the banks. Can't guard Mike when the deal is done. So if you were to see the picture, you would laugh, and the picture is on the screen. So if you're watching the live stream, then you're entertained by the picture. Scrooge McDuck. In his money bin. That's for those of you who are listening to the podcast tomorrow.
And also for those of you who like DuckTales.
Woo! All right. So the next one comes from OBG Brian. OBG Brian. Yeah, someone got to explain to me the love affair and hype for Darius Garland. I mean, unless y'all count on him being the next Kyrie, I'm trying to find out what player y'all watched in college.
I don't think we're going to draft Garland. I think with Ball in place, if they like Ball, you know, it seems like they like Ball. I don't anticipate trading Lonzo Ball. We're not going to draft a point guard. I think Garland, he looked great, but he only played 5 games until he got hurt. But he's a projected, you know, anywhere from 4 to 10. A lot of people think Garland's going to go, but, you know, I don't – the Pelicans aren't going to draft him because if Ball is here, they don't need a point guard.
All right.
They could also bring back – I mean, because they still could also bring back
So the who loves him and who loves him and why do they love him?
Just a lot of –
his mom and them.
A lot of team – well, there's a lot of point – there's a lot of point guards in this draft, and you know, even in the 5 games, he apparently showed a lot. You know, he had the quickness, he had feels, and in the draft these days, with players being so young, a lot of it is based on what they think you can be compared to what you have done. Because a lot of these guys are freshmen. I mean, even Zion only has 1 year of college behind him, and he's, you know, the best prospect since LeBron. So.
All right.
That's just the way that this is the way the draft is. But yeah, I don't anticipate, even if we traded down and Garland was still there, I don't anticipate it because I think Pelicans are in on Lonzo.
All right. And the next tweet is from the Pelicans themselves exercising their team option on head coach Alvin Gentry's contract for the 2020-21 season. And the picture of him putting his arms up and standing up and walking away in the meeting.
Well, that was when we won the lottery. Yeah.
Right. But the picture they used.
No, it's fine. Well, I mean, the only thing I will say, it's good because otherwise he'd have been a lame duck coach. So you're going to give him 2 years, and if he's not the guy after 2 years, we'll know and we'll move on and get somebody else.
Right.
But at least, you know, he knows he's got time to, like, all right, let's do this. But I think his style of play will work well with Lonzo and with Zion. Just run down the court, be athletic. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, Lonzo has great court vision. Him throwing lobs to Zion, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. And a lot of people are dismissing it. I don't understand why all the Twitter experts, all the post bloggers, like, yeah, we're going to trade the pick. We're going to trade, you know, all the localers, like, yeah, we're going to trade Lonzo because they hate his dad. That's why they want to trade him, because his dad sucks. That's not why you trade a guy. I'm like, I'm sorry. We'll find a way to deal with Lamar Ball.
But Keenan does a good impression of him on SNL. So.
Big Ball of Brand, bro.
Right
now, you said no. It's going to be Bayou, you know, Brand.
You know that will be interesting to see how his dad reacts here.
He's going to love it. He's going to be the best thing ever. It's going to be the best thing ever to happen to him.
Because his dad is not going to get the coverage
down
that
there?
He did in L.A. Yeah,
yeah. Let him ride in a Mardi Gras parade. Yeah, have some fun.
He'd like that. Let him be the Grand Marshal of Orpheus or something.
Yeah, something, yeah.
All right, and then our last tweet was a picture that Gizmodo posted. It was a spectacular new crater discovered on Mars, to which Fuck the Falcons replied, "That's the Falcon Stadium from space." And if you see the picture, which is on the screen, Jason, it looks like you've seen it.
No.
Damon, I don't know if you've seen it, but I wish you could see the live stream right now. And get a picture of it. It's a picture of, looks like an asshole on Mars.
It's not a metal asshole, but it's an asshole.
It's a Mars asshole.
Yeah.
Which is the Falcon Stadium from space, right? Yeah. Always got to throw one of those in there. All right, that's all the
Falcons forever.
That's right. That's all the tweets we have for you right now. We're going to join our local listeners.
Oh.
Back at the regular old screen there. And let me just check in with the live stream, see if anybody made any kind of comments while we were doing that. And it would be Scott saying the Pels should trade the number 4 pick with Taysom Hill.
There's a Taysom Hill of basketball, then yes, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. It's Lonzo.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
According to Lonzo's dad. All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the point of the show where I ask about any final thoughts. What you watching? Wow. You got anything you're watching? You got anything else going on that happened in the last couple of weeks that you need to get off your chest?
I did I did finish The Wire, which was awesome, and I got back on Deadwood, so I still have the season finale of Deadwood season one. Now, did you guys watch? I know there was a Deadwood movie that just came out.
I have not watched the movie yet. I read, and you know, you never believe what you the critics have to say about it, but I read that it's the movie has a little bit of desperation to reclaim, and like they really weren't as good as the show because they were trying too hard or something.
I actually saw a review that said it was a perfect ending that they needed. Like it was a great fucking ending because there's a lot of cursing, and God, there's a lot of cursing in Deadwood.
Right, and that's all the Deadwood movie was. It was just it was a one shot to end the series, but they left abruptly. I watched it the first time, wasn't happy about it, just how they used the characters and stuff. I don't want to give.
Was it a bit gratuitous, Damon?
I haven't seen it, but I don't feel so. No.
Okay.
No, I don't feel that. It was trying to end something in an hour and 40 minutes that you know.
So rushed, so like
the
Game
characters
of Thrones,
weren't right. Yep, that's a good word for it. Right, it was really rushed, you know.
Okay,
but you know, look, the Deadwood series. If anybody hasn't watched it, go back and watch the original Deadwood 3 seasons. They're great.
I totally agree. That was a show that years ago Damon recommended, and I was at the I was not really a Western fan. Like that wasn't my genre of choice, but that got me into West. I watched that. Like that was the only thing I watched until I finished it. It was fan freaking tastic.
Yeah,
good show.
Well, I would recommend
those characters.
I would recommend y'all go watch The Wire if y'all haven't watched The Wire.
That's
The Wire was as good
for
as
me. As I get it, and I kind of want to, but
it was as good as ever.
So much.
Why?
It's so much.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's like 150 episodes.
How many seasons?
No, it's not.
It's like 38 seasons, 75 episodes each, or something like that.
Five seasons.
Yeah.
At max 13 episodes a season. I think a couple of seasons. One season was 12. The last season was 10.
That's
it's like 70 episodes, Jeff. Whew. You got it.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
You know something, show?
That's why I'll never get back to Battlestar Galactica. That's too much.
Oh, kiss my ass. That's a good show.
See? Uh-huh. That's 180 episodes.
I've watched that twice.
Now I am. I did start rewatching Stranger Things because season 3 comes out July 4th.
Okay.
So I did start.
Okay.
I did
That's
start.
That's one I don't feel like I could rewatch either. I'm not a rewatcher. I'm not. I don't know how you can do that. Like the I'm not a rewatcher.
Okay.
Chernobyl. Did y'all finish? I still have the final episode to watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
How
wow.
Good.
Chernobyl. Great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit.
Very good.
I am really enjoying that, and it's not really a whole lot that happens in each episode, but there's still so much.
No, it's five episodes, right?
Yeah, that's it, just five.
But you know what's interesting? That all right, so you talk about what you loved about Deadwood was the fact that they took their time to tell the full, complete story. Game of Thrones, what people loved, was the time that it took to tell the complete story. Chernobyl is one of those, in five episodes, they take time to tell the story. And yet we still have Hollywood that constantly feels like they have to put out these rushed things to we have to constantly throw things in people's faces because they won't be entertained if not. But it's the shows that even Breaking Bad took time. If you think about all the best shows, they went about it slowly and methodically. Right?
Yeah. At some point, they figured out what the end was. They figured it out.
Right. But every season or every show that has a rushed final season, the fans get pissed because they rush. Except Walking Dead. They take too much time to do things.
They just didn't know what they were doing.
Until last season, where they didn't. Last season, they got smart about it. And because they've got so many things that they can do. All right. Anything else? Damon, final thoughts.
Well, I'll just go on to look. This is the last month and a half, like you said, of dead news. Nothing until we start the football season again. And God, I am still lethargic about football season. You know, this will be the first time in 30 years where I am not going to the games. I don't know.
So you really, like, you did not buy your tickets.
You really gave up your tickets.
100%. 100%. So Doug, he wanted him to have, you know, Doug has young children, so he's hoping, you know, he's going to take his kid, and, you know, he's a new dad, so he's hoping that'll be, you know. Girls around. What's that?
I don't know. I'm not sure if I believe
it. No, I didn't hear what you said.
I'm just not sure if I
Yeah, no, but, look, Doug and I were talking about it the other day, and even, he, you know, I said 30 years, guys, and I'm an older man than when I started at 15, obviously, you know. It started to just become a chore. Even though the last couple of years we were doing great, you know, 17, 18 season, it's still, because, you know, getting up every morning, you know, whereas on Sundays, having to drive to Harahan to pick Doug up, drive to New Orleans, you know, look, I'll leave my house at 10 o'clock and not getting back home to 6, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
To me, it's more of a chore just because I don't have a set thing that I do for games now. And I talked about that, you know, I went to the Weird Al show this past week with Blaine, and we're like, you know, in 06, 07, 08, 09, we had our tailgate spot. We knew where we were going. This was it. Whereas now it's like I'll do one thing one week and I'll do something the other week. Now, mm-hmm. I'm still sense. Going to the games. And, you know, it made it worse being in fucking Slidell. That didn't help. So at least this coming season I will be back in the house, which will help. But I don't like the fact that pre-games are now just unpredictable. I don't like having a set, like, here's where I'm going. No, this is what I'm doing.
You mean you would rather have that?
But right. I would rather have
a tradition.
But we're still going to.
You'd rather have a tradition. Like, yeah. That's the thing. You don't have a tradition right now. And
I'm still going to go to the games. But also, I'm not paying what Damon was paying to go to games.
Well, dude, it had nothing to do about that. All right. How many years when did you get your same season ticket?
2003 was when we got ours.
Okay.
All right.
1988.
Okay. Yeah. Look, you definitely gone.
You know. Talk to me then about being a chore. Again, it's just a chore, and you know, it's just a chore to get up, man. And look, nothing
you've
like.
You've also got a farther drive too,
in the stadium. People say, "Oh, I still watch them." People say, "Oh, I still watch them on my big screen TV, and I don't spend $10 on a beer." That has nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it. You know, no, there is nothing like being in the stadium. And you know, by the grace of God, I got to go through the 2009 season. So I went from 88 to 09, you know, 20 years. And that was like, oh, my goodness. You know, that was the pinnacle. And I told Doug this, too, when we were talking about it. I said, if we'd have won. So I'm blaming it on how we ended the season.
If we'd have won this year.
But if we'd have won. I still might have been done. Like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
They went to Atlanta, won the Super Bowl. Fuck, I'm done now. You know, I'm really done then.
It's kind of like you've racked up enough games at this point that were, you know, the return to the Superdome against Atlanta, the NFC Championship game, or all those playoff games with Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
Right.
You've got these big games where a regular season on week 8 is just not enough for you anymore. It's like, you know, you did the hard drugs, so pot's nothing anymore.
Yeah, right? I know, you know? Be careful with those oils.
Right. So,
that's what my dad said.
That's
right.
What the coroner of St. John Parish says.
Right. So again, even though we ended, you know, we got screwed so much last year, that doesn't necessarily. It just started becoming a chore, you know. It just started becoming a little bit of a chore to get up and go to the game. So it's time for the next generation to step up and fill the dome and let them enjoy, you know, because there is nothing like being in that goddamn Superdome with 70,000 screaming Saints fans. Man, there's just nothing like it. But doing it week in and week out, and it's funny talking to people over the years, you know, oh, man, I'm going to my first football NFL game, it's so exciting, blah, blah. I'm thinking, really? You know how many times I've done that? It's like, you know, like going to Shell for me, you know, to the gas station. You know how many times I've gone to an NFL game?
But take me, who I go to like one game a year, right? Or something like maybe two games a year, if anything. Yeah. Even I, after last year, was even not even like this is before the NFC Championship game, but it was after last year, I was just kind of like, whatever the game was, I was just, you know, is it really worth it to go to a game and experience on it?
Right, the last game you went to was the last game of the season where we didn't play our starters, so the game was meaningless. It was like
sure, yeah, but I mean, just all of it. It's just, again, it's kind of like, are we old guys at this point where I don't need to be there?
Yes, but I mean, yes, we're old guys.
I don't need to be. Are you eating fried fish?
No, I'm eating fried beef.
Okay. Maybe I'll speak for myself, but yeah, and maybe it's because I watch the games on TV so much. I do enjoy Damon to the watching the TV version of the game, having my cheaper alcohol and being able to go to the bathroom without standing in line, because that's the other thing. When I do go to games, I spend, because of my 12-ounce bladder, I spend half the I pay all that money to stand in the fucking bathroom the whole time, okay? And I miss half the game.
So we'll see, but also, because you don't go to enough games, like I've been to enough games to know, I maybe get one beer at the game and that's it. I either bring something with me, right, or I drink enough before the game to where I kind of sober up as the game goes along.
I go with Andrea.
And Jeff's like, I'm at the Saints game? Oh, I'm drinking all the beer. See, hands? You're right. I'm drinking all the beer. That's what
there it is. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that, plus we got to get up and go get nachos and that for the kids.
No, we don't. I don't.
Right,
I don't
need to
get,
because
you do.
It's novelty still.
Well, then that's on you.
No, it's look, I mean, as far as that goes, being in the club was nice because you didn't wait in line when you went to the restroom. I mean, you know, you walked it out.
You also pay $300 for it, and Jeff ain't doing that.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But and again, I was never a drinker at the games. I go to the games to watch the games. When I was really younger, man, I went there, had my earphones on, listening to the Archie and Jim, which were. Man, y'all will never experience.
Damon was a 55-year-old man when he was 100%.
Had my binoculars in, looking at everything, you know. And then for the dickhead years, the thing that saved me were the Saints stations, because there was nothing worth watching on the fucking field. But then, you know. So again, it just changed again. And I've heard people like my brothers who are older than I am, you know, by a substantial bit. And older guys that I knew at the country club, Carter and all them, when they were younger, you know, yeah, they were big Saints fan at the time. I was younger, and I remember them kind of saying, you know, yeah, it's just football, you know, relax. And I was like, it's football, it's the Saints, life, it's life.
How dare you suggest that it's just football? You're not a real fan.
I mean, it was. Like when we won that first Super Bowl, like that kind of changed. Yeah. You know, dude. Like, I was still just excited to go to games, but it wasn't like when I was younger, like when the Cubs lost in 2013 on the bullshit Bartman shit. Like I was devastated.
I
couldn't work for a week. Like, the fuck? This is just a sports team that I cheer for. And it ruined my life for a week.
Right.
The
Saints used to be the same way. Like,
but wait,
I was depressed
the
when
thing.
The Saints would lose.
Depressed. But wait,
I was
past all. I grew up past that, and I was able to. You know, for the last 2 years, I've been able to. Even the Minnesota Miracle game, I was able to move past it a little quicker than ever before. And I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to get so let these games affect my life so much until that fucking Rams game.
This
and
one,
it. It is, to your point, Damon, even now on June 18th, I'm not the same.
Because it shook a play that bad just shakes your core belief in.
Well, because
at least the Minnesota game.
Was
the guy
our
fucked
fault.
Up. You know, right. Like,
right.
The guy fucked
our
up.
Fault.
It happened.
100%.
Okay,
right.
I can get past it. Like,
we
this.
Were robbed.
Right.
We were cheated. It didn't matter what happened. We got fucked. So why am I putting all, like you said, why am I being depressed during the week, and I feel bad, and I'm like, lethargic, when it doesn't fucking matter what we even do on the field, because you're going to fuck us.
Right.
Because
we're gonna get
you want
way,
right, right. Because did they want LA in there?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. But you know what? Yeah. So to an extent, that still plays in my mind. Why am I putting so much fucking effort every fucking Sunday, so much money? And again, we talk about the tickets, but there's more shit. There's gas. There's parking. There's fucking hot dog. Fucking hot dog. $5 hot dog. A fucking $5 bottle of water. A $10 fucking Dixie.
I learned not to spend. I have to spend. That's a key part of me. I've learned to, like, I maybe.
But again, you right. We put so much emotional
water, and that's it. But right there, but right. There is more.
We put so much emotional and right. monetary right. and time. We put everything in it, but right. it don't matter. It don't matter. We're not gonna throw a flag. And everybody. I've said it before. 70,000 people in the arena. Everybody, I mean, in the Superdome. Everybody on the sideline.
Everybody
watching on TV.
Yeah.
Saw it.
Even the Rams.
But the five fucking people who didn't, who that's your job.
Right.
Fuck you. Fuck, you know, and again, I'm not going to hurt the Saints. Someone's going to, you know, with Doug still buying both tickets, he'll take his board, you know. And the tickets are still in my name, so. And as long as, and so Doug, look, even if he doesn't want to go next year, buy them and sell them. You know, right. don't even have to make money because they're good tickets. They're good, you know, it's a good spot. It's
some
to see that, you know.
For me, too, is that as long as Breeze is quarterback for this team, 100%.
No doubt. No, and I thought about that. No doubt.
I'm going to be there because he is the best quarterback.
And Jason, I thought about that. You know, man, can I at least wait? You know, wait it out till the Breeze Peyton era is over. But then it's, you know, 30 years. You know, 30 years. That's fine. But, that's done. I can't. You can't. You know, you can't say anything about my saying. I've done it for 30 years.
Right.
That's a lot. You know, they should give me. I could retire. You know, they should give me a gold watch and a.
And this is what
a pension.
Let me. And this is. I'll speak for both of us with confidence that I'll be right for you. Is that maybe even right now we're still having that hard time getting. As hyped as we might have in the past, but I do believe that when preseason starts, like I'm still thinking, like even June, July, I'm gonna have a hard time even getting all like I'm not. It what it is I'm not believing all the I'm putting as much emphasis on all the bullshit that I see come across my Twitter feed from all the sports writers saying like, oh, so and so caught a big pass in the fucking in practice yesterday. You know what? I don't give a fuck. That doesn't mean shit.
Yep.
Preseason game still doesn't mean shit, but maybe I might get a little bit. You know what? Hey, yay! All right, here's some real football starting. Okay, and then once that first regular season game comes up, that's when I'll know whether or not I am fully recovered or not. But it's going to take until September for me to know if I'm over it or not, and then it'll be very clear. What it is going to be interesting, and I can't wait for, is whether – like, all right, so I'm going to watch the game. But is the game going to be one of – like, am I going to still be the Jeff that sits in front of that TV, glued to the game, all – you know, obsessed with every play? Or am I going to be Jeff who I'm grilling? If I miss a couple of plays, it's okay. I'm not going to pause it. I'm not going to rewind it. Or if I'm at a friend's house and I'm on the road, am I going to DVR it? Or am I just going to, like, kind of just check the score? I don't know.
Right. My plan. I plan on DVR in every game, but I'm not. My plan right now is not to plan on being at 12 or 3 in front of the TV.
Yeah.
I'm gonna DVR, and again, things change around here a little for me over the last 5 or 6 months.
Yeah. Clearly, you have this.
Right. You know. Right. My girls moved in with me. I have a woman living with me now, and. You know, that's never happened before. I shared with Jeff and Jason earlier. You know, I wake up and he walks in and hands me a list of things to do. You know, things we need and things I could be accomplishing during.
And guess what, Damon? Unless she is a diehard Saints fan, she ain't gonna give a fuck about 12-3 on Sundays, and she will plan things for you to be doing at that time that is not
involved. She doesn't appear to be a diehard Saints fan, if I had to guess.
No, she's not. She's actually from. She can sit. Long story short, she considers herself a from Tampa, but she's not a Bucs fan, and you know, but she's been here for a while now. You know,
she likes crab legs.
You know, I don't know, but obviously
she likes butt pirates.
But she doesn't. She's not a diehard football.
No. All right,
but
Kyle again, Gordon.
But, you know,
saying
time
thinking,
with her,
Kyle Gordon saying it's going to be about week 5 before he's over it. So, all right, that is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to wrap this with the that is all of our show for this week. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Follow us on Twitter for daily conversation. Like us on Facebook to watch these live broadcasts. Subscribe on YouTube to watch or listen as an alternative to your podcast app. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, you could still go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
That's all, donkeys. I know you're not going
to... Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Jeff, I know you're not going to get that. Because you're not a Pelicans fan, and that's okay.
I'm sorry, Jason, what did you say?
That's all, donkeys. Gonna drown
this whole yeah. Jeff, I'm hiding in my headphones. Jeff, do you get that?
And everyone can see that they won't bother me. So get out of my way. Cause I don't care what you have to say.
I wake up in the morning, sit in the house key. Step into the big old world around me. I'm a hit up of the fights in your seat. Hiding in my headphones where you find me. Hey mister, I don't mean to be rude, but it's too early to have an attitude. So I turn up the volume, take a journey. Hiding in my headphones, that's where I'll be.
No wanna hear the chatter of the businessman. No wanna hear the jingle of the ice cream van. No wanna hear the flapping and the pigeon coos. Not even wanna listen to the morning news.
Just dancing to the beat in my head, in my head. Just dancing to the beat in my head.